And Ezekiel describes in their terminology what they would have expected. But when you turn to the New Testament, immediately what you begin finding is we have a better priesthood than the Levitical priesthood. Still in the book of Hebrews, turn to chapter 8 and verse 1. The point that we're saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne in the majesty of heaven. He's a better priest. He is a priest not on earth in a temple made with hands. He is our high priest that is in the very presence of God to mediate. We have a better priest because our priest never sinned. The old priests had to offer first sacrifice for themselves because they had sinned, and then for the people, and Jesus never sinned. We have a better priest because He is the Son of God that is the priest. You can't get a better priest than the Son of God. When you talk about the priesthood that is going to come, we have a priest that won't die. All of the old priests, there were hundreds of them, because they lived a few years and they died and someone took over. Jesus abides His priesthood continually because He ever lives to make intercession for us. So when Ezekiel says back here, I'm going to restore this temple and this land and this nation and David and a covenant and the priesthood, when I read that, I immediately think, Jesus and the book of Hebrews. And I begin reading through that, and I don't take Ezekiel literally. I understand it in conjunction with what we have in the fulfillment of Jesus Christ. When you begin reading this, he talked about the sacrifices. But the sacrifices were the blood animal sacrifices, which again, the Hebrew writer said, chapter 10 and verse 4, the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. He says in chapter 9 of the book of Hebrews that the sacrifices of bulls and goats could not cleanse the conscience of those that worshiped. And what we have today is we have a better and more perfect sacrifice. We have the sacrifice of the Son of God, the perfect man who died to redeem us from our sin. So should we ever go back to animal sacrifices? Why would you want to? Jesus has died and we have been atoned for by the blood of Jesus. Never to go back to a Levitical priesthood to offer animal sacrifices on the Day of Atonement in a worldly temple. Yeah, I know Ezekiel described in one sense, but what he was actually telling us about is the coming of Jesus and the Messiah. So read Ezekiel through the lens of Hebrews. Read Ezekiel through the lens of Matthew. Read Ezekiel through the New Testament, seeing that what we have is better than what we have. We have a greater temple than what they had. Now, the book of Hebrews keeps talking about the tabernacle. The temple replaced the tabernacle. But what the writer of Hebrews simply says is, we have a better place of God. What the temple and the tabernacle was all about, by the way, was simply an earthly representation of the presence of God among the people. And so they walked in with the sacrifices and took it into the presence of God. But heaven and earth cannot be a place for God to dwell, let alone a 10 by 10 tent room. Heaven is God's dwelling place, and the earth is God's footstool, let alone Solomon's temple or Herod's temple or the tabernacle. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24. It says, Christ has entered not into the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but Jesus entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for our behalf. The old tabernacle and the old temple were simply pictures and copies and the foreshadowing of the true tabernacle, which is the dwelling place of God. Is it literal? No, but it's real. And where Jesus went is into the true Holy of Holies, the very presence of God. Ezekiel described how they would return and rebuild the land. But what we have today as God's people is the hope and the comfort of a far better land. When Jesus talked to the woman at the well, she said, do we have to worship over on that mountain or do we have to worship over on that mountain? And Jesus said in John chapter 4, the day is coming when you'll worship at neither mountain. You will worship in spirit and in truth. And whether you're in Iraq or Iran or Tucson, you worship God. And it's acceptable to God because our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3, verse 20. We're here as strangers and pilgrims. So, you can just pilgrim all over. And you will still be God's people, and you will still worship in truth, and it is still acceptable because Jesus is in the true tabernacle in the presence of God. And we have that which is far greater than the land that they were promised back then. And as far as the circumcision is concerned, that was an argument in the first century. In Acts chapter 15, the brethren got together and one of them stood up and said, if you're not circumcised and don't keep the law of Moses, you can't be right with God. And one of the other brothers that knew better said, that's not true. And they had a big debate about it and they decided, let's go ask the apostles down in Jerusalem. And so they went down to Jerusalem and they got the apostles together and the apostles talked about it and the apostles wrote a letter. And the letter said, you don't have to be circumcised. And then Paul went a step further in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 2 and he says, and if you do that, you will be cut off from the Lord. But what about Ezekiel's circumcision? Now, I'm going to tell you what. He said, nobody that is uncircumcised of heart or flesh. That's literally what Ezekiel said. But when you turn to the New Testament, what you find is that every single person that is right with God has been circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in which God cut off not the foreskin of the flesh, but He cut off the sins of the flesh. And He did that when we were baptized into Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 through 13. So, somebody asked me one time, do I have to be circumcised? And being the type of person I am, I said, absolutely. In the heart. With the circumcision made without hands. And if you're not circumcised with the circumcision of Jesus Christ, you cannot be right with God. But not physical circumcision. Now let me go back and show you what I mean. Is that a real circumcision? Absolutely. Is it a literal physical circumcision? No way. But literal and real are not to be put together and to fight with one another. What we have is, we have the real temple, but it's not physical. And we have the real sacrifice. And we have the real circumcision. But it's not the literal circumcision. So, what was Ezekiel doing when he was talking about this people of God and the circumcision and the sacrifice? He was talking in their language to try to express to them God is going to restore and fulfill His promises. And when God did that in Jesus, brethren, don't ever let anybody tell you you need to take a back seat to this. What we have is greater than they imagined. What we have is very exceedingly far better than anything they could have pictured. But what we have is we have Jesus and the hope of heaven in our hearts. And wherever we go, God is with us. And when we worship God, we are acceptable. And our sins have been forgiven by the blood of the sacrifice of the perfect Lamb of God once for all. So I know reading Ezekiel is very confusing if you don't also know the New Testament. But my approach is very simply this. I didn't answer everybody's questions tonight. When we put this up on the internet, I expect to get lots of emails, questions, and we'll work through those. But my point is this. When you read what Ezekiel was saying, Ezekiel was talking about the coming of the Messiah. And the Messiah has come. And He has saved us and redeemed us. And He has fulfilled the promises that God made. I don't ever expect to have a Levitical priest. I don't ever expect to have to offer a sheep in sacrifice. I don't ever expect to have to get on an airplane and travel to Jerusalem 3 times a year to attend the 3 great feast days. For what we have is Jesus. That's why the book of Hebrews was written. To get people to realize, here's what we have. And this is what we hold on to. God is the God of all. And through Jesus, He can be your God. And you will have the best of all of the priests and the sacrifice and the tabernacles and the temples. We have Jesus. Jesus asked Peter one time. A bunch of people got mad at Jesus and they all walked away. In John chapter 6, Jesus looked at Peter and the apostles and He said, "Y'all want to leave? You want to go with them?" And I love Peter's response. He said, "Where would we go? To whom could we go?" Jesus has the words of life. So in Acts chapter 4, when this same Peter and the apostles were arrested and they were told, "Don't you ever preach about Jesus anymore," they looked at these people in the eye and they said, "There's no other name given whereby men must be saved." Whatever Ezekiel's talking about, it points to Jesus. And Jesus now has given us eternal life. If we'll follow Him. He said, "Preach this unto every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter. Male or female, doesn't matter. American or Chinese, doesn't matter. Arizona or Texas, it doesn't matter. If you want to serve God, you have to do it through Jesus Christ. And you have to do it His way. And you can do that tonight. God wants you to. We want you to. And if you know what's good for you, you want to obey the gospel. We're going to stand and sing, and we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.